Hey, this is James from Survival Punk.
And this is Mike.
We're here to bring you episode 4, the mighty number 4.
Alright, on today's episode, we are going to be discussing the untimely letting go of Mr. Cody Lundeen from Dual Survival. We're going to be talking about how we're now on Stitchers and iTunes. 11 things wrong with the modern diet. We're going to have Mike's movie pick of the week, a few words from our sponsors. Going to be talking a lot about cholesterol and why you should eat more fat. Word from Fox Outfitters and their stainless steel cups.
Sent to me by the guys at Solo Stove.
And I think we should just get right into it. How you been doing this week, James?
Pretty good. I'm enjoying my vacation or my staycation. I haven't gone anywhere. I've stayed around town, take care of some business.
I've never liked the term staycation. It just seems forced.
I'd like that better than the vacay. When people say, "Are you on vacay?"
Oh, that's just
I'm like, you're missing half the word there. So yeah, I'm on staycation, taking care of some business. A lot of stuff on the website. Finally. We're on both iTunes and Stitcher.
So, you got to tell them about the headache that was.
Stitcher wasn't bad at all. On lunch, a friend of mine from the Beards and Bullshit podcast gave me some tips on it. And he said, he asked me if I'm on Stitcher, which is weird because I use Stitcher to listen to podcasts, but I didn't even think about adding Survival Punk to the Stitcher directory.
I'm not entirely even sure what Stitcher is.
It's an app and a website that is a directory of, like, podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I added Survival Punk to the Stitcher directory while on lunch at work on my cell phone. And then I got the approval, actually, a couple days after iTunes. Getting us an iTunes, though, was a royal pain in the ass. It took an act of God to get us on there, basically.
Now, why is it so hard to get a podcast on iTunes?
The real problem was just iTunes is really picky about the feed that you submit to them. And it kept throwing up a million XML errors, image size errors, everything else. And I had to go in through a feed validator, dig in the source code. And eventually, I got us in there. And a couple days later, iTunes gave me a notification that we are added to iTunes. And as of today...
What category are we under?
We're under, I think, education and training.
Education and training, huh?
Yeah.
So, iTunes.com, go look at education and training. You should find Survival Punk podcast.
Right. It's finally on there, so you can subscribe to us. We got it. I think I have 9 subscribers right now, so it's a start. It's better than no subscribers.
We're going for an even dozen for the new year.
Oh, by the next new year, I expect to have, probably 20,000 minions.
Actually, I was talking about the next new year when I said even does. But anyway,
yeah.
I think it's time we take a little break and talk about your number one sponsor here.
First sponsor of the day is JM Bullion, jmbullion.com, where you can get all your gold and silver needs, family-owned and operated. Really great guys. When I accepted them as a sponsor... I didn't just want to take their money. I actually looked into them to look for customer reviews and some other stuff to make sure I wasn't... You can't just be a sponsor on Survival Punk. You've got to be a good company. And I was able to find one negative complaint about JM Bullion.
And what was that?
It was craziness. It was like crazy spammer. Like, the guy was like, oh, they took my money. They didn't send me my product.
They raped my mother while pouring sugar in my gas tank.
And, it turned out to be the mailman delivered it to, like, the back door, and it was sitting back there for a week or something.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. That is brilliant. You're going to dog at a perfectly good company because you're too lazy to drag your fat ass around to the back door and check there.
Right. So, JM Bullion, head by SurvivalPunk.com and click their banner and go buy some gold and silver from them.
All
right. Best prices on the market.
Awesome. All right, let's move right into our news stories here. I think the top news, top survival news of this week's got to be Mr. Cody Lundeen being let go from Dual Survival following his former partner,
Dave Canterbury.
Dave Canterbury. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Now, what exactly happened there?
Well, I saw this on Facebook the other day where I get most of my news from.
Where most of America and the world gets most of their news from anymore.
Right. Cody put a Facebook status update that he was let go over safety concerns.
Safety concerns.
So I've got an article pulled up here.
Had something to do with shoes, didn't it?
It says, "Dear campers, unfortunately, I've been fired by Discovery Channel for differences over safety and health concerns on the show and will no longer be a part of Dual Survival."
Now, who had he been, I'm like a season behind on this. Who replaced Dave on the show when he got,
The guy's name is Joseph Tetti.
Joseph Tetti?
Tetti. T-E-T-I, I think is how he spells his name. I haven't watched any of that season because...
Neither have I.
I was a fan of Dave Canterbury's before Dual Survival.
You know, and I don't care what he fudged on his application, so to speak. I like Dave.
Right.
I was a Dave fan.
I like Dave.
Your invitation to come on our show is still there, Dave. Just remember that.
So I was a bigger fan of Dave. I have both of Kelly Lundin's books and Dave's first book that he's wrote. He's working on a second one.
Yeah, I actually saw those books in your survival mobile.
Yeah, Cody's books are way better written. Cody's books, if you're new in survival and preparedness, I would suggest Cody's two books.
Look them up. Just Google them.
98 Degrees, I think, is one, and How to Survive When All Hell's Broke Loose, I think, is the second one. And they're both solid, top-notch books. Good illustrations in them, good points, lots of tips. I mean, if you go and look at any bookstore through the survival book section, most 9 out of 10 books are a reprint of the U.S. Army Survival Manual.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring, and it's got just crap in it. Like, solar steels, if you're in a survival situation and you think you're going to build a solar steel, don't.
You have to have very kind of specific components in order to build a solar steel.
It's ineffective.
Yeah.
You're going to waste 1,000 calories and sweat 4 bucket loads of sweat to get 2 ounces of water.
Yeah, and one of the most important things that any survivalist will tell you is don't expend more calories than you're planning on putting into your system, if at all possible. And building a solar still running around gathering the parts for that. You might get lucky if you're stranded in a garbage dump or something like that, or in a junkyard. You might be able to build a solar still out of that. You're stuck in the woods. Where are you going to find the stuff to build a solar still? It's not like you can just find bleach randomly laying in the woods or anything like that.
Yeah.
One problem I had with that show.
But. We'll get on to that at a different point. But as far as like good quality survival shows now, I'm going to say that's one less. I'm not going to watch any, unless it's for a review for the website and I have to force, like, let's get on the Doomsday Preppers for a minute.
Oh, boy.
I have tried multiple times to watch Doomsday Preppers. Can't do it.
Now, you tried. How far in did you actually get before reaching for the fork to poke your eyes out?
I watched the pilot when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, I've tried to watch 2 episodes to review and talk about for the website. I couldn't finish either of those 2 episodes. Recently, I watched 1 episode in its entirety, only because my buddy Dave from the Shepherd School, TennesseeGun.com.
No, not Dave Canterbury.
No. My buddy Dave was on an episode. He's actually your neighbor. He lives kind of down the street from here.
Kind of down the street from here could mean a lot of things, dude. I am in the middle of bumflip Egypt.
Your next closest big city.
That's not down the street. That's many miles away.
Well, I actually think he lives in Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah, literally right down the street.
That's still not right down the street.
Closer than... Anyway. So, he bought some land down in Waynesboro, Tennessee. Somewhere in Waynesboro. It's a big county, and I'm not going to give away too much, I guess.
Why don't you just give him his address?
Yeah, here's the GPS coordinates. So, and I've been down there before, checking out his property that he bought. It's 15 acres. He got a real sweet deal on it. Has a lot of good projects he's going to go on there. So, I've been to it, and he had this project he wanted to do where he was going to build a geodesic dome and cover it with ferro cement, which is some kind of like spray-on cement.
Geodesic dome.
Yes, he built a geodesic dome.
For those out there like me that doesn't know what a geodesic dome is, what is a geodesic dome?
Epcot Center.
Oh, that kind of geodesic dome.
Yeah. So he built only not quite as big, more like a 12 foot by 12 foot or something dome. Or
fascinating. Now, what are the benefits of a geodesic dome? I love that word. That's my word of the day, geodesic.
One of the strongest structures you can build. All the triangles support each other, and it's a lot stronger and sturdier than traditional square stick-built homes. So he built one down there, and Doomsday Preppers basically paid for his dome.
Awesome.
But the episode was horrible. They forced him into saying things like he was prepping for the San Madrid fault to go off here in Tennessee.
Oh, my God.
They forced the other guy in the episode to say the same thing because there's two preppers per episode.
See, that's one thing you should learn about reality television.
There's no reality in it.
I mean, they say reality TV doesn't have script writers. It does have script writers.
It does. They force him to say stuff. They set up certain scenes. And while watching it, I was on, I was texting him. I was like, really? I'm like, he's like, okay, fine. And he's like, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. No, I'm not really prepping for the San Madrid fault, but they made me say that because they refused to say I'm preparing for when I can't go to the grocery store and feed my family. So,
yeah,
that's my Doomsday Preppers rant. Dave, I know you only did it because they paid you a lot of money to build your dome. I would never be on that show. Never. Ever.
And apparently neither would Cody Lundin, and he also won't be on the show that we were originally talking about in this.
Right, right. So I'm just making the point that there's really not a lot of survival shows to watch anymore.
Now, has there been any word about who they're going to be getting to replace Cody Lundin on Duel Survivor?
I've not heard yet.
Not heard.
I don't care, but...
Too fresh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move along. You wanted to talk about 11 things wrong with the modern diet today is our...
Right, this is an article that I've seen pop up a few times, like on Facebook and around some other places. So it's from Business Insider, and it's got a lot of traffic heading towards it. It's 11 charts that show everything wrong with the modern diet. I tend to agree with most of it. The first thing on here is total sugar intake has skyrocketed in the past 160 years. It's in the 1700s, it looks like.
It was next to nothing. I mean, sugar consumption back then was very, very minuscule. But by the year 2000, now is this...
60 kilograms per individual?
Yeah, it's kind of... It's interesting, though, because right here, it like dips down at a couple of places.
Yeah, it looks like in the 1900s.
I'm saying right here, we are on a podcast.
Right. I'll have a link to this, so you can look at the charts here. But it's a steady chart that shows both obesity rates and sugar consumption, and they're pretty much following each other right up. The more sugar, the fatter people are getting.
Not necessarily.
Oh, no. Sugar is definitely making people fat.
I know, but those don't actually follow each other. I mean, that sugar one stayed pretty level and then jumped up drastically.
That's a funky chart.
See, and even when it was on the incline, that was actually on the decline simultaneously.
Right, but since the 1900s, obesity has gone up pretty steadily.
Now, you got to find this chart on here so you know what we're pointing at. Number two, consumption of soda and fruit juice has increased dramatically.
Right. I don't think that fruit juice should be given. I see a lot of parents. I'm not a parent, but the sugar is outrageous on the back of fruit drinks. When people say, I'm not going to give my kids sodas, I'm going to give them fruit drinks. A lot of times the fruit drinks have more sugar and it's probably worse for you.
Now, I do know one little tidbit out there that a lot of people don't know. You could probably find this on crack.com in a couple of places, but I love that website. You ever wonder how, even though there's only one season for growing oranges, you can get fresh orange juice year-round? That's because they've pretty much zombified it. They have it in million-gallon vats that are airtight that will last indefinitely, which unfortunately that process sucks all the flavor out of it. Which is why even though they'll use the same oranges for Minute Maid, as they will for Sunkist, as they will for Tropicana, they all taste different.
Right.
That's because what you're tasting is the flavor packs they put into it.
Yeah.
Specially designed flavor packs that give each one their distinct flavor. My favorite flavor pack is Tropicana, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
What do we got next on here? Calorie intake has gone up by around 400 calories per day.
Yeah.
Now, that's an important one right there.
It looks like in the 1970s, average calories were 2,100.
A little over 2,100.
2,200 a day, which is not terrible. I mean, 22 is about what you need to have a good, healthy weight.
Now, interestingly enough, it looks like it really hit its peak around the year 2000. Swelling up to 2,700 calories per day on average. And one good thing that I am showing, that this chart does show, that right now, as of 2010, it's actually back on the decline. Not by much, but it is going down. I'm guessing that's when people finally started waking up and realizing what they were putting into their bodies.
People are paying attention, yeah.
Not everything about the internet is evil. It does have some information
on it.
This
next one is something I'm a big supporter of and plays into the rest of the themes of the podcast.
People have abandoned traditional fats in favor of processed vegetable oils.
Right. I mean, the chart starts at 1909, where most people are using butter and lard. Let's look. I think there's shortening on there. And some shortening. Modern oils weren't even on there yet. Mm-hmm. They don't start until about 1969 when you get the vegetable oils.
And then all of a sudden, pounds per capita per year? What is that? Is that how much people have weighed or how much they're taking?
I think it's how much they're using per year.
Yeah, all of a sudden, from the time oils hit the list, which is around
1969,
maybe a little bit before, it has just, I mean, it's gone up and up and up, and as of 2009, it just shoots off the charts. You can't even see it anymore.
Shortening on there, we're gonna say Crisco shortening. It had sort of moderate use in 1909, which is probably about when it was invented as a candle substitute. Crisco was invented as a candle substitute, and then the light bulb was invented, and they're like, "Well, crap! What do we do with this? Let's feed it to people. Let's feed this candle substitute to people."
Interesting fact. Did you know most of the cream inside of snack cakes is basically Crisco with sugar in it?
Yeah.
It's essentially essentially shortening with sugar.
It's why this survivalist is not stock Twinkies. Five.
It is wise to stock Twinkies in the event of a zombie apocalypse if you're ever stuck out there with Woody Harrelson.
People replace heart-healthy butter with trans-fat-laden margarine.
Trans fats. Now, I've heard you on a billion occasions say nothing has trans fats in it.
Pretty much every time you see stuff in stores, it just says it does not have any trans fat.
And it's stuff that wouldn't normally have trans fat in it anyway.
Yeah, apples, now fortified with no trans fat. Well, no crap, there's no trans fat in it. Everything labels itself as not having trans fat. But margarine does have trans fat. So, And some other hydrogenated vegetable cooking oils have trans fat. So people stop using good, healthy butter, which in 1909, when the chart starts, people were consuming almost 20 pounds per year, which is delicious. And they were using no margarine, zero to 1 pound.
Yeah, very, very small margarine.
It looks like in the 1975-ish area, margarine peaked out and butter had been so vilified, it was at pretty much an all-time low of under 5 pounds.
Actually, they look like they've almost evened back out again. Still more people using margarine because marketing has taught people that margarine is the healthier choice.
Right, and then butter's downward plateau is starting to come back up. It's starting to. So next, we got soybean oils becoming a major source of calories. I try to stay away from soybeans. They are a grain, which on the paleo diet I do avoid. Soybean contains high levels of estrogens, which as a man, I try to avoid getting high levels of estrogens in my diet. And soybeans are one of the most GMO'd crop out there that has been sprayed with tons of pesticides. So soybeans are definitely a bad part. I'm not even going to read over this squiggly list of chart here. Check it out on the link. Modern wheat is less nutritious than older varieties. If I were to do any wheats or stuff, I would try to grow and eat an ancient variety of a wheat. They've been bred to have, I think, 200-fold more gluten in it than normal. They have less nutrition. And modern wheat is just cheap garbage that's killing people. Mm-hmm. Let's see this. Modern dwarf wheat was introduced in the year 1960, which contains 19 to 28% less of important minerals like magnesium, iron, zinc, and copper. There's also evidence that modern wheat is much more harmful to celiac patients because it has 200 folds the gluten, with gluten sensitivity compared to older breeds like Incorn wheat.
Now, what is so bad about gluten?
That's a whole topic in itself, but the basic breakdown is the body doesn't process it, it doesn't like it. It acts like sandpaper in your gut, so it scratches and punches a hole in your gut lining, so then the gluten protein particles get into your bloodstream, and then your immune system identifies it as a foreign body in the blood system and attacks it, which gives a lot of people autoimmune diseases and a whole slew of other health badness.
Now, has modern science invented the gluten-free pretzel yet?
Coconut flour.
I've never had a coconut flour pretzel.
I could make you one. Eight. Egg consumption has gone way down.
Well, actually, it looks like it's back on the incline now, but
it's edging back up. I eat at least 3 eggs a day, sometimes more.
And once again, this is marketing vilifying something.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the egg has been... Because it has cholesterol in it, the mighty devil cholesterol. Buddy of mine, Gabriel, I asked him what he was eating for breakfast because he's trying to lose some weight. And he said something stupid, like he wasn't hungry, so he ate like some protein bars, some cereal bars, or like pancakes with agave syrup. And I was like,
all incredibly high in carbs
and just bad for you. And I'm like, why don't you just, I eat eggs and bacon every morning for breakfast.
Straight protein.
Protein and fat and cholesterol and good. And he was like, oh, I can't eat eggs because they have too much cholesterol. And we'll get into it later, but I just wanted to slap him for saying that. Let's see. 9. People are eating more processed foods than ever. That's pretty much self-explanatory. Processed foods have lots of crap packaged in them, and it is making you fatter. They're usually processed with lots of sugar and stuff added in it that's helping them pack on those extra calories.
Now, number 10 looks actually disturbing. The increased vegetable oil consumption has changed the fatty acid composition of our bodies.
Right. Let's read some of this. Most of the omega-6 fats people are eating is a healthy fat called linoleic acid.
Studies show that this fatty acid actually gets incorporated into our cell membranes and body fat stores. These fats are prone to oxidation, which damages molecules like DNA in the body and may be increasing our risk of cancer. In other words, the increased consumption of processed vegetable oils has led to actual harmful structure changes in our bodies. That is a scary thought. That really is.
It really is. We consume too much omega-6 fats and not enough omega-3 fats, and this changing our body is really scaring me. And the last one is...
This sums it up.
It fits into the whole theme of this episode really is nutrition and fat. And number 11 is the low-fat dietary guidelines were published around the same time as the obesity epidemic started. The picture is not showing here for this one, but I've seen this chart. The same time that the food pyramid was introduced with eating less fat, here it is. I reloaded the page. There it is. The low-fat guidelines introduced 1976 or so, and the obesity rate
just started going up and up, where it had been running level for Lord only knows how far.
Right, and in the 30 to 44 age group of...
I mean, all
was actually on the decline before that.
Yeah, I mean, all age groups show show a lot of increase in the obesity. And yeah, the 30 to 44 was actually on the decline until that happened.
Right.
Yeah, once again, really crappy marketing. That's the whole reason behind the food pyramid in the first place.
There's so many conspiracies, and that's an idea for the future. Let's have a crazy tinfoil hat episode. We'll just knock out a whole bunch of crazy conspiracies. There's a lot of conspiracy involved with the food pyramid creation, with the founder of the FDA, the original president leaving that after he passed by aspartame and going and working for the soda companies. Like, there's just so much conspiracy and crap going on.
Oh, and let's not even get started on the guy that basically introduced corn as a dietary supplement for all Americans.
Kellogg? Was it Kellogg?
I can't remember his name. We'll have to look that up. They did a whole documentary on it. But corn has worked its way into our diet so much that it actually shows up in DNA tests.
Yeah.
Hair follicle tests show corn DNA basically in our systems. Basically, in a nutshell, don't let the government tell you what to eat. They're going to want you to eat exactly what's going to make them the richest, which is not always the healthiest choice for you. All right, but
so up next, we got Mike's movie pick of the day. So, Mike, what do you have for us today? Tell me about it.
Well, our survival pick for the week, this is a little bit of an oldie. It's from the 90s, a movie called Dante's Peak. Stars Pierce Brosnan, one of the former James Bonds. I think this was actually might be before he became James Bond.
I think so. I don't think I've seen that all the way through. I watched parts of it with I was dating a girl once that was going to school for some sort of meteorological thing, and she had to watch it for class. So I've seen parts of it, but tell me about it.
Well, basically, Pierce Brosnan plays he's a volcanologist. He studies volcanoes, and he comes to this town to tell, I think it's the chief of police, something like that. Basically, to warn her this volcano is about to erupt. Nobody wants to believe him, and guess what happens?
It erupts.
Exactly. Now, the reason I love this movie, and the reason it's the pick of the week, is it really shows the survivor spirit amongst people. That willingness to do whatever it takes to get out of the situation, to fight the odds, even when you know the odds are against you. And one of the most heart-wrenching scenes of the movie is basically it's a scene of self-sacrifice. These people are trying desperately to get in this boat, which is springing leaks, to get across this lake, which is at the point of boiling at this point due to volcanic activity. There's this woman, the chief of police, and her children, and her mother, all trying to get across it. They can't get across. They know they're going down. So what happens? This woman's mother gets out of the boat into the boiling water to push them the rest of the way, knowing that that's going to be like the last thing she ever does, and it ends up being the last thing she ever does. She
dies. There's no coming back from that.
No, you can't be boiled alive. But no, Dante's Peak, if you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been for the last couple of decades, but no, find that. I think it's on Netflix, or at least it was. But just find it anywhere. It's a great movie. But moving right along here, I think it's time to hear a little bit about Black River.
All right, Black River Outpost is the next sponsor today. They have all the needs you could possibly want for the tactical world and your prepper gear. You can get your Magpul mags there, your vest, your plate carriers, whatever you need, you can get it at Black River Outpost.
Do they have any fire-starting supplies?
Tons of it.
Tons of fire-starting supplies, yes. All sorts of things.
Yes.
That's the one part of survival that's always fascinated me, is all the different ways that you can make fire.
There are some really cool fire starters out there.
Yeah, I mean, because that's one of the biggest things out there. You have to have a way of protecting yourself, keeping warm, cooking food, boiling water, sterilizing things. So you can find all that at Black River
Black River Outpost.
Black River Outpost.
Family owned and operated up in Michigan.
Alrighty, now continuing right along with our nutrition episode, we touched on cholesterol a little bit earlier, but I think my cohort here wants to go in a little bit more in depth on it.
I've been dieting for the past several months now, very successfully, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the keys to my fat loss was and I read a couple books, and there's a couple more I need to read. There was a book I got on fast food, and I came to the realization that I needed to reduce the protein I was eating, because I was eating tons of protein and not losing weight because I was eating too much protein, and increase the amount of dietary fat I was eating. And I read some tips and tricks from blogger and fellow podcaster Jimmy Moore about how to get more fat in your diet, some low-carb mistakes that I was making, and he had kind of ballooned up. Like, he originally went on Atkins like I did several years ago, and then he was active in the low-carb community, blogger, podcaster, Living La Vida Low-Carb podcast, and through some mistakes and some misunderstandings, he had blown back up to probably pre-weight size. Mm-hmm. And he figured some stuff out, and he started tracking some things, and he did a year-long experiment, his N=1 experiment on nutritional ketosis. Mm-hmm. That I'm kind of modeling some parts of my diet after. And he dropped a tremendous amount of weight, and he got some interesting benefits from it. His new book, though, is The Cholesterol Myth, which I really need to pick up because I want to read it. So,
now, I mean, all of our lives, we've basically heard the same thing over and over again. You got to have low cholesterol. Cholesterol is bad. Cholesterol right. clogs your arteries, gives you heart attacks, you die early.
Right. You hear that a lot. And if I was to ask you, Mike, right now, what is cholesterol? What would you tell me?
I would tell you it's the stuff that my doctor wants me to take pills for each night that I never do to get rid of.
Right. Most people just know that they should have low cholesterol. They think they should have low cholesterol. Mm-hmm. But they don't know what it is. They don't know what cholesterol does. They don't know anything about it. So they're just mimicking what they've been told. You got to lower your cholesterol. Which probably you shouldn't always lower cholesterol. Like, I've heard a couple explanations of what cholesterol is, and
Before we continue, I just want people to know out there, this is not just his incoherent ramblings and off the wall beliefs about cholesterol. What he's actually telling us is based on scientific studies and stuff that he has actually researched on his own. Just to let you know, but continue.
And I'd like to preface this real quick with, I am not a doctor nor a nutritionist, and these are the things that work for me, but I can't tell you to do them.
Right, exactly. I mean, everybody's body chemistry is different. I mean, if you want to go into an extreme diet, want to take any of James's here advice, anything like that, please.
Do so at your own risk.
Do so at your own risk. Consult a physician, a doctor, something like that. But anyway.
All right, so cholesterol is made by the body. In the liver, if I believe right. And it is a needed thing in the body. The way that cholesterol was explained to me that really stuck and I really liked a lot was cholesterol, it's in the body. It goes to fix inflammation. So it's like showing up into a house while it's burning down and seeing the firemen there putting out the fire and getting pissed at the firemen because they're causing trouble and issues in the body. So cholesterol is the body's fireman. They go to problem spots, inflammation, to fix the inflammation. And it's been vilified as being the issue. They're there to put out the fires. They're not causing the fires. Something else you're doing wrong, eating gluten, some sort of autoimmune disease, something is causing your inflammation, and you're trying to get rid of what's there to fix it. If you have high cholesterol, it means you have high inflammation, and you should try to treat that inflammation and not get rid of the cholesterol.
Kind of like what happens when you catch a virus. See, the virus, when it actually invades your body, it doesn't make your nose run. It doesn't give you the fever. It doesn't do any of this. It doesn't give you the sore throat. It's just there. Your body does all of that stuff to itself trying to fight it.
Right, which is, I try not to take things when I get sick because it's going to stop. It's going to stop your body from doing those things that it's doing to heal yourself.
Right.
I mean, if you take something to stop your nose from running, then that means the viruses and stuff are going to stay in your nose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, unless it's a serious illness and it's time to take some medicine, probably should just try to let it run its course for a little bit. So that's what cholesterol is. Cholesterol is produced by the body to try to get rid of inflammation. So that's the first real myth about cholesterol that I want to talk about. That it's not the villain here. It's just being bastardized and villainized into being the bad guy here. The second thing I want to talk about is eating dietary cholesterol is not that bad for you. I eat a lot of cholesterol, and I read from Tim Ferriss once in the 4-Hour Body book that he, a lot of times, like for experiment stuff, he'll eat a lot, like a huge whack of cholesterol, like 4 whole eggs or something, right before bed. Right before bed, because in the, at least the male body, somewhere around 12 o'clock at night while you're sleeping, the body converts cholesterol into testosterone.
Now, what about that old saying that we grew up with? You shouldn't eat right before bed because your body can't digest it properly and it makes you fat.
That's bullshit. We're not even going to go into that. So, I mean, just all these like sissy little wiener guys that are concerned about cholesterol, lack of testosterone is a growing problem in the United States because we've been told not to eat cholesterol.
Which is where the testosterone's coming
right. It's,
from.
I mean, the body needs cholesterol to convert to testosterone. So you're taking all these like statins, which are terrible by themselves, to lower your cholesterol, and you're killing your testosterone. We're growing a nation full of weenies.
Does that explain why a lot of vegans, vegetarians always have that kind of puffy gray look?
There's all kinds of things wrong with vegans and vegetarians. I can't support the vegan lifestyle. I've seen too many people get sick and unhealthy, and tons of health issues come from being vegan because you're not getting all the nutrients you need. To eat a vegan lifestyle, I thought doing this as a month-long experiment, you have to take so many supplements, and you have to take so much healthy fats. And
now, when you say supplements, like, you know, like pills, vitamins, stuff like that.
Vitamins, protein powders and stuff. And then
stuff you shouldn't have to do in order to live a normal life.
Right. I don't take a lot of supplements because I get my nutrients from my food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not deficient in a lot of things. I'll take a vitamin D supplement because I'm not outside for 8 hours a day surfing and stuff. I mean, I just don't get that much vitamin D.
Right, and you know how we got here in the first place, right? You know how humanity has advanced to this point. It's because back a long, long time ago, millions of years ago, our ancestors went out, clubbed something to death, and ate it.
Right. There's, like, dental records that show that the early caveman was as carnivorous as an Arctic fox.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty carnivorous to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Inuits lived off of blubber and meat.
Right.
Fat and meat. There's no orange trees in the Arctic up in, like, Alaska.
No, of course not. There's hardly any natural
vegetation. There's almost no vegetation.
Fruit-bearing vegetation. I mean, they do farm stuff up there, but the farming season is very short,
right.
And it's usually just to sustain one's own family.
Right. So, the real moral of the story is here, don't be afraid of cholesterol. You probably need more of it, to be honest. And if your cholesterol is abnormally high, which mine's not, my blood pressure, my cholesterol is all fine, you probably have something else going on that you want to have checked out.
Right.
The doctors only treat symptoms. They don't bother to find out what's causing those symptoms.
That is something I've noticed a lot more over the past few years.
And I don't care for that at all.
It's funny because you sit in the doctor's waiting room for an hour. You sit in the room for 5 minutes. And you'll be lucky if they even whip out a tongue depressor at you anymore. So, but keeping on our dietary talk, which seems to be the entire structure of our episode.
Sometimes I just want to talk about nutrition.
Yeah, and speaking of nutrition, moving right into Nutrition Corner, with a kind of, which to a lot of people would sound almost like an oxymoron. Your method of losing weight, eat more fat.
Right, and all of my health markers are great and improved from it too. So, The real secret to my weight loss, which at this point is 50 pounds in 4 months.
Which is to be applauded. I mean, think about it. That's like, what was like a 12.5 pounds a month on average?
And for the most part, the majority of it was in 2 months. So in 2 months, I lost 40 pounds.
That is awesome.
And then it's sort of trickling here and there. So the way I was able to accomplish this was decreasing protein. So instead of eating a big steak, I tried to cut it down to, I'd weigh it until I got the feel for it. I'd cut it down to between 3 and 5 ounces of steak, which is half of a fairly small steak. And then I increased my dietary fat. The other night, I was at Longhorn? No. You know, at Longhorn Steakhouse, I think, with some friends. And I ordered extra butter to put on my steak. And I would dip my steak into the butter. So it's little tricks here and there to get more fat into my diet.
Now, this goes right along with something you were telling me about earlier today.
I knew this was going to make it to the podcast.
Oh.
So this morning for breakfast, I didn't really feel like cooking a lot of veggies. And I cooked up 3 pieces of bacon and 3 eggs. And then I cooked the 3 eggs in the bacon fat. And to get a little more fat in there, because I knew I was cross-fitting today and I was going to be a little tired.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Put butter onto my bacon.
The bastard buttered his bacon, just like that famous episode of The Simpsons.
I put about 2 tablespoons of butter on my 3 pieces of bacon, and I'm going to tell you, that was downright delicious. That was some of the best eating I've ever had.
As long as you live in my house, you'll live by my rules, and in this house, we butter our bacon.
Yeah, so sometimes I will replace a meal with a 90% fat recipe. So I have a soup recipe that I make. It's a curry chicken soup.
A curry chicken soup with 90% fat?
Right. It's such an easy recipe, I can tell you right now. You take 1 tablespoon of coconut oil and melt it in there. 1 tablespoon of butter, grass-fed Kerrygold butter. You take 2 tablespoons of curry powder, tablespoon of garlic. You take, what's next? 1 bouillon cube or chicken stock. To make a cup. And then you put 1/3 cup of heavy whipping cream in there. And it makes the most delicious, nourishing soup ever. And that's, all those ingredients are almost pure fat. The breakdown of the recipe afterwards is about high 80s, 90% pure fat. And I'll eat that, the 1 cup of that entire thing. And you can just feel the nutrients soaking in you. You're good to go for hours. It will stain every single thing that comes in contact with, and it will never come unstained.
Oh, that just sounds so... I'm not even sure what that sounds like.
Yeah, so try to replace some meals with those 85%, 90% fat meals. Try to add extra fat to everything you do. If I cook eggs, usually I'll put like 1 tablespoon of sour cream. Not exactly paleo, but I'm trying to get that extra fat in there. And it works.
Alrighty. I think it's about time for our final sponsor ad of the evening. Gonna a little talk about survival gear bags.
Alright, well, last sponsor of the day is Kelly John Doe at survivalgearbags.com. They were my first sponsor ever. Survival Gear Bags, my first sponsor. Great guys over there. Family-owned business in upstate New York. Check out Kelly, go buy something from him, and tell him that James from Firebunk sent you this way.
Alrighty, and now time to talk about our survival trinket of the day, our survival gear. What do you got there, James?
Alright, so I was on Facebook a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, and the page Solo Stove put out a little blurb saying, hey, they're looking for gear testers, is anyone interested? Of course. I will never turn down getting free stuff.
I mean, your site is kind of tailored for that sort of thing.
I do. I do a lot of reviews, and if people want to send me stuff, I'm more than happy to review it. If it's crap, though, I will tear you a new one in the review.
Okay, looks like you got some sort of a stainless steel cup there.
Right. So the first item they sent me that I have to have reviewed and talk about is the Fox Outfitters set of stainless steel cups. There's 5 cups in here.
That's an interesting number.
That's a good number. I mean, 5 of these, they're 1 pints. Stainless steel cup, really sturdy, kind of heavy for a camping-type cup. But, I mean, if you're trying to get away from plastics and stuff, or just around the house, they'll be good. Being that they are stainless steel, you could use these to cook in. If you put a lid on top, maybe some aluminum foil, you could make char cloth in here. So, yes, I haven't done extensive testing yet, but I'm pretty impressed so far. And
Stay tuned to the website for further updates.
Yeah, there'll be a real review here. I'm going to try cooking in them, boiling water in them. make some coffee or something.
I would say you could probably boil water in these pretty good. I would recommend some sort of an oven mitt for picking the cup up after.
Right. Yeah, there's no handles on it. It's just a plain stainless steel cup.
Mm-hmm.
But they're neat, and I'm going to probably keep some in the kitchen just to drink out of every day.
Yeah, they're pretty spiffy looking. I actually like them.
So, thanks, Solo Stove. Review will be up soon. All right. And next, we've got Mike's Sage Words of Wisdom.
Okay, well, before we get on to my Sage Words of Wisdom, I would like to send out my special weekly celebrity podcast invite. This week's invite goes to somebody, one of your favorite survival celebrities out there. I know it's one of mine, and kind of like an unsung hero. This is going out to Ruth England, wife of Michael Hawk, on the show Man, Woman, Wild. Me and my wife, we love watching that show together. It's one of the only survival shows that we actually like watching together is Man, Woman, Wild. And no, I'm not inviting Michael Hawk. I'll invite him later on. But this week, I'm wanting to invite Ruth England, the woman who was drug out into that and basically made on the pilot episode, on the very first episode, to drink her husband's pee out of some kind of a melon rind. So you've got an open door, open-ended invite to be on Survival Punk Podcast at any point in the future.
And we will not even make you drink pee.
No, we will not. But I think it's about time to wrap things up. I think this has been a pretty good
something or other. Yeah, anytime I can talk about completely nutrition, I will gab like a schoolgirl for hours.
Very, very, very abundantly true there. Well, for SurvivalPunk.com and for the Survival Punk Podcast, I'm Mike.
And this is James.
And just remember, when all else fails, start a fire and drink your pee.